Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you adults and something luck heirs who will let just get away with it.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com. Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Freedomizerradio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Again, everyone, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so we'll have Leslie from Tennessee joining us here. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share, the number here is 319-527-6208. Press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and I don't know why I can't find. All right, let's try one more time here. All right, I guess it's not coming up today. All right, so let's go ahead and bring in Leslie. There's no applause here. It seems to be missing.
It's okay. How are you today?
Well, all right. We have this at least. It's not the same.
Hey, I'll take what I can get. Today's been a bad day for the American democracy.
Yeah, so what do you want to start with first tonight? We could start with small talk. We could go into the biggest of the big news. I don't really care.
I say we go and just take a deep dive off into the big news. I mean, of course, everybody knows now that Trump's mugshot is online. A lot of people are very happy to see that, unfortunately. It's just a real disgrace to this country that it has come to this. I understand that a lot of people don't like him. You know, like we've talked about in the past, he may not be our favorite person, but, you know, he ran this country very well, and I feel like that they just come at him from all sides. And I feel like, you know, and here's my thing, that if it wasn't him, that they would do it to somebody else that would stand up for the American people, because the swamp is just that. It's so deep, and it's more than I think that a lot of people have ever imagined, and this has just brought it to the forefront.
I just can't believe that, well, the more they try to do stuff to Trump, it doesn't work, and I don't know why they are still they're still pushing.
I think that when you're out of options and you can't win, the right way that, I mean, it's desperation from one. I mean, I really have no doubt that it's desperation. I think it's a lot of people wanting to grab their 15 minutes of fame, especially like this DA named Fannie or whatever her name is out of Georgia. You know, I mean, she's definitely taught me her name. I would have never known who she was if it wasn't for this, you know, for this going down. And, of course, Alvin Bragg, you know, out of New York. There's a bunch of names that that people know now that are household names just because of what they've done. I mean, they ran off, you know, they campaigned off of arresting him, off of going after him, which speaks volumes. If people don't understand.
Just think, though, they arrested, 19 people to hide their frauding the election?
Yeah, and I just, they had, of course, the famous phone call about coming up with whatever it was, like 12,000 more votes. I think that's really been twisted around to their benefit. You know, as I know, that you can make words twist to your own benefit. I feel like that's what they've done. And I really hope, honestly, that it, I mean, I know it's really kind of a, you know, a fast trial that they're requesting in, what was it, October, that one of the defendants has requested. But I feel like that, honestly, I would just rather them go ahead and do this, because I feel like that there's going to be there's a couple of things that are either going to happen. And I really hope that it gets dismissed.
Well, and they've done so many shady things in not even just the election, but the court case to get this up there. And they're just going to allow whatever it is that they needed to do, because it's the important thing is we're arresting Trump. It doesn't matter if what we're doing is legal or not. The important thing is that we're going to make these arrests. That's very constitutional of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why that we're still living off this, especially whenever you have candidates like, you know, and I know that Hillary Clinton vehemently opposed the campaign and said that he, what were her words? That he was I'm not a legitimate president. And,
right.
You know, so it was okay for them to say this. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was investigated. The Clintons are synonymous for out there, you know, where they're from in Arkansas, all the crimes that have happened. Nothing. I feel like that there's been so much death, animosity, and corruption. You know, I mean, we're talking about from Benghazi to just so much. And if it's like somebody said tonight, if you're not with that establishment, if you don't go along with the political regime, then, you know, you're standing for the American people. And
but you know what gets me, though, Leslie, is that with all this mess that happened in Hawaii and now the Associated Press, not even our news, even fake news, is now covering how destruction, this was all planned. They're covering how the governor wanted to buy the land and these people weren't selling. And they're covering, even, like I said, the Associated Press is covering the fact now that the police refused to let people go through these barricades that they put up. And whoever didn't go through the barricades ended up dying to a frying to a crisp. And they didn't turn the water on purpose. You have this water equity guy that was that went on TV and said that it wasn't fair because the white people were able to dictate how the water was spent, and he didn't have time to talk to the black people and the gay community and all the other communities to see whether or not they wanted to use the water for the fire.
Yeah, I actually saw something about that.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And why is nobody's going to get arrested? And then Brandon goes down there and pretends it's evening at the Improv. But it doesn't matter because those people vote Democrat regardless. So he could have just gone out there, flipped everybody off, and went back home. They'd still vote for him.
Yeah, I really don't understand that either. I don't know how you can still vote for somebody and they're going to vote Democrat again. I mean, whenever he's there making jokes, and there was a meme on my Facebook about that. I mean, the meme really was not a funny meme, but it's just, you know, one of those memes he was talking about, he almost lost his cat, mm-hmm. his car, his Mustang he loved so much. And I think his wife.
A Corvette,
yeah. But, you know, I don't get it. I guess I'm at a loss for words tonight because of what we see around us. And it's like people are still living with their eyes shut. So I haven't. If you can figure that out, let me know.
I hope you can share that meme I made earlier today. And I reposted it less than an hour ago. It has some people mocking a guy with a scam on, and it says the way you should treat people when they tell you that Brandon is a better president than Trump. If you go to my spy book wall, you'll see it. It's not that far down.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I will definitely do that for sure. But, you know, I feel like this country was made for everybody, and it's almost like it's dividing more and more down, if that makes sense. Then
yeah, we have to have communism to make all the communists happy, even though communists don't want us to be happy, but we have to make them happy.
Well, I think that a lot of these people that are looking to get into a different type of government than what we have now have never lived under any type of regime like that, and it's going to be too late. You can't go back. Once you get something like that, you can't go back. And there are so many people that have escaped that life, and I would never understand why they would even want to vote, you know. Well, to be a liberal. So that's my thoughts on that topic.
Well, they've never had a hard life. So what happens is hard lives create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. And then the cycle goes on.
Very truthful, very truthful.
We became soft.
Well, I don't know what's going to change it. Obviously, I don't have the answers anymore. And because at this point, it's very frustrating to see a man that can go to Hawaii and make jokes and basically, he can get away with it, and he's going to get voted by them again.
Yes.
So that's my thoughts on that subject. Again, just a little disheartened tonight. Not going to lie on that one. I'll never give up fighting, but I'm not to say that I'll have my days where, you know, it's not a little bit more frustrating than others to see what's going on. I mean, they want us to give up, and that's just not going to happen. I think that another thing that's really quite interesting as, and you've posted about this too, and I hear it, you know, is the scams are coming back. If, you know, people are new and they don't know what scams are, that would be a mask. They didn't obviously work the first time. They obviously didn't work the first time. So, I mean, I don't even know why people would keep doing that. I mean, it's kind of like the, you know, the vaccinations of COVID. And I believe now that I have, you know, I took a Moderna 2 shot, and I think that I have high blood pressure from it. I've never had high blood pressure before. But, you know.
Well, here's the thing, though, Leslie, and I posted on this before. People will wear scams not because they're scared of the disease, but they're scared of not being able to buy stuff. They're scared of offending somebody. And if they know nobody's going to yell at them for not wearing a scam, they're not going to wear one. But people wear them because they think somebody's going to yell at them.
I'm just amazed that in some places, especially like California, that they never stop. You know, whenever I have a friend that's a truck driver that travels the whole United States and he goes out to California and he walks into a store with his wife, you know, and they live in Texas, but they're not from Texas, but they're from Alabama. And they walk in a store out there and people are walking around with masks, and then they're looking at my friend and his wife like they've got three heads, you know, because they don't have masks on. And we haven't worn masks in forever here. And, you know, I've never had COVID. I've been in the bars in Nashville. I have traveled to Florida. I think they have instilled fear in people so much. You know, I'm not saying that COVID doesn't exist. It obviously exists. But I'm not even 100%
sure. But the
scam,
everybody knows the scam. The scams, they do serve a purpose. They scare people.
Yeah, and they don't stop
anything. Something that they can have over your head. Like, you need this in order to buy and sell.
Oh, I just refuse to do that.
Well,
I'm
posted on it. 25% of the public does not care if they have to wear a scam or not. Percent, at least, is going to comply. Because, like I said, they're afraid of getting yelled at or not being allowed to purchase. So that leaves maybe 20 to 25% of the public. And maybe that's enough. I don't know.
Well, I think you're going to find, and really that also depends on the area of the United States or either country that you're in. Because most of the people I know, where I'm from, back in the South, they're not going to have any of it. And I can already tell you that I've noticed on Facebook there's already a lot of people that have posted. They have already started posting that they're not going to.
We run the risk of being in our echo chambers, though, because we talk to like-minded people. So if one of us was liberal scum, then we'd be seeing all these people that can't wait for scams to come back.
Well, I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not going to if they do come back. I just have no desire for, you know, to be under the thumb of our government like that. I don't believe
there are people
that
look forward to it, though. There are people that don't want to make any decisions in their life. They want every decision in life made for them.
Of course. It's called socialism. There's a lot of names for it. People don't want to stand up and fight. People want to take the easy route.
Yeah, I love life too much. I can't do it. I don't want to sit here and just be a drone and just waste my time away.
Well, I think another thing is what really bothers me, too, is to see anybody that has ever spent time in our military, why they would even ever consider voting for Biden or a liberal, especially after sitting through and listening to the Gold Star families and their testimony.
If you're one of those that watched that Fox debate yesterday, I could see how your choice is Brandon, or you've got seven Warhawks up there. All of those fools up there on that debate stage are looking forward to giving Ukraine as much money as they possibly can.
Well, I was part of that debate, and I happened to see. Well, honestly, because whoever is up there on that stage, there's going to be one of those people that's probably going to be our next vice president.
I don't think so.
You don't think?
Unless it's Vivek, but I don't think it's him.
Well, I have thought about that. There's some of his foreign policy that's kind of, I don't know, some of his policies are kind of different.
I'm okay with that. To be honest, Vivek, and one thing with the truth community, it's a double-edged sword. We like what he's saying. It's like he's one of us, except he's too slick. It's like us having a conversation, but he's up like another 30%. It's like he's a little too polished.
I kind of agree with that too.
I mean, I love what I'm hearing, don't get me wrong, but it's just the way that he's telling it. I want to like him, but I don't know if it's genuine or not. And the more he talks, and I love everything about it, it's just I don't know how genuine it is, and I feel bad saying that, but when you're that slick, I have to start second guessing, and I'm not the only one.
We will find out. That was my biggest point of trying to listen to what they were saying the other night. And
I don't think Trump wants anybody that's interested in war. I don't think any of those people up there would be maybe Vivek, but I don't even think him. I think Trump would look at Carrie Lake or Kristi Noem as a vice president. I think he's all those people on the debate stage, I don't think have much of a chance of being a vice president.
And I do like Kristi Noem a lot. I think that she would rock it out as a vice president.
I think unless he goes after Robert Kennedy, which is possible, but I think what you need is that if they assassinate Trump, they want somebody that's ready to go and loves freedom just as much. And I don't know if Vivek is that guy. He could be, but I want to see more from him that I can get behind and not just – I don't want to hear ear music, basically.
Well, nobody does. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes, you know, it's really, it's like you said, I really started liking Vivek from the beginning, and then now, you know, I listened to him last night, not so much.
And trust me, he won that debate yesterday. Don't get me wrong. But I've never thought of that before, where somebody is saying exactly what I want him to say, but it's a little too good. And I don't know what to do with that.
Well, he got some booze last night, let me tell you.
Did Chris Christie, though. He got booed because all of those other people up there on that stage want to bomb and bomb Russia. And Vivek is all about trying to get to the table and negotiate a peace deal. Yeah, that's going to get some booze when you get all those Warhawks in there.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely, I was never for, you know, especially as deep as this has gone, for this proxy war that we're in right now, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the average American public wants us to be in a war with Russia. So when seven of those eight people up on that stage talk about how much war they want. I don't think that I think they're tone deaf on what America wants. How is it that you could spend all these billions of dollars in the Ukraine on a weekly basis, but you offer people in Hawaii a $700 one-time payment and you're going to take their land from them? Yeah, that's just insulting to me.
Well, I totally agree with you. I'm by far not disagreeing with you.
Oh, I know that.
So where's our friend tonight that drives the truck that's from New York?
Oh, we'll see. It's still early.
Well,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I think that I just really, when it comes down to it, I think you're right, though. I do like Kristi Noem. She is very well-spoken. She has had a wonderful campaign to promote her state. I think she's done a wonderful job up there. I get tickled with those commercials that she's in. And I think that she would be a great, I think she'd be a great choice.
Yeah, I think Kristi Noem, Carrie Lake, or maybe Rand Paul, if you want to have a third person out there. I think any of those three would be the front runners for being the vice president. I don't think anybody on that debate stage is in the top three.
I like Rand Paul, for sure. With him being a doctor and him, what was his dad's name? Ron Paul?
Ron Paul, yeah.
And I like Rand. He's from Kentucky. And I think that, boy, he let Fauci have it. But he would be another good one, too. I would definitely vote for him. I think either him, Carrie Lake would be maybe my third choice. I'm not really sure she would do as well as Kristi or Rand, but I really like either of those two would be my top choices personally.
Well, I don't know who I like one, two, or three out of there. I just think those are the top three choices.
Yeah. Well, those are good choices. I totally agree with you on those.
He's not going to choose Tim Scott, and he's definitely not choosing Mike Pence again.
Yeah, I don't even know why Mike Pence even wasted his time to run. And I can't stand Chris Christie. I really can't.
His job is to get paid to go after just be a chihuahua who's not gonna destroy anything, except he's gonna make people mad by being loud.
Well, he's definitely got that down pat, because there's a lot of people that cannot stand him, for sure.
Oh, he got the most booze last night out of everybody.
He did.
Well, he's not a very likable person to begin with. When he left New Jersey, he had a 14% approval rating. And when he ran the last time, he said the reason why he's running is because he knows how to work with Democrats. That was his press conference when he announced he was running for president in 2016. That he can work with Democrats.
He's a rhino.
Then go be a Democrat. It's okay. We're not going to stop you from being who you are. Go be a Democrat.
He can hang out with Liz Cheney and the rest of them.
Right. And then Asa Hutchinson, who wishes he had Chris Christie's numbers.
It's just weird some of these people that decided to run for president. I mean, I don't know what kind of, made their mind up to randomly just decide that they were going to run for president. I mean, he's like from 1996. I was laughing at somebody tonight. I mean, he really is 1996 made over. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what made him decide to run.
Well, some of these people think they're likable for some reason.
Probably because
there is nothing in the world that you're going to be able to do that would get me to vote for Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, or Asa Hutchinson. There's nothing.
So what do you think about Nikki Haley?
I don't. Just another war hawk. And she was up there selling it yesterday about the fact that she's the only woman on the stage. I don't need that. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need somebody that you're not your vagina is not a magic eight ball and you're going to ask it questions. I don't care what gender somebody is.
Pretty good.
Well, we used that back when a certain former Democrat candidate who was allegedly a female. I don't want to mention their name on the airwaves, but that person used that before. It's like, I'm not voting for somebody because they have less penises than the other candidate. That doesn't matter to me.
Identity politics.
Yeah, I'm not voting for somebody just if they trotted out Pete Buttigieg and said, and he says, vote for me, I'm gay. I don't care. I'm not voting for Michael Robinson Obama because he's a nice lady. I'm not playing those games. I just vote for whoever's the best person that can keep America's freedoms and give me the best quality of life. I don't care what somebody does. And Trump offered that, and he did a good job. Brandon's not offering that. Barry Satoro and Big Mike didn't offer that. Bush didn't offer that. Clinton didn't offer it. The other Bush didn't offer it. And Reagan had pockets where he did some good, but I was too young to understand a lot of it. And before that, I don't know.
I don't vote Democrat, but I tell you, I like Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't... Boy, they sure don't like him, though.
Yeah, but you may have heard me talk about it before, though, where we could like him, that's okay, but they would rather have Trump than have him up there, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
If the election was Trump versus Kennedy, you'd see all these people praising Trump.
I just really hope that in 15 months from now, that the president will not be Joe Biden, and that we will...
it could be Governor Grusin.
Are you sure? I just don't really think.
No, Grusin is about as likable as Chris Christie or Mike Pence. No, he's probably with Mike Pence. Mike Pence is slightly more likable than Chris Christie, who's slightly more likable than Asa Hutchinson. I would put Grusin in the category of Mike Pence, where they still get an F, but having a 50% is better than a 38 or a 22.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to be able to sell Grusin when people are moving out of California so fast like they are, and everybody sees what's happening in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and you want that to be nationwide. Without voter fraud, he doesn't have a chance. Unless they take Trump out, then if it's Grusin versus whatever you saw on that stage last night, then Grusin has a chance.
Well, we're going to be really hoping that they don't take Trump out.
No, they're going to be trying their best because if they can take Trump out, they can go a bunch of different directions. Right now, they're stuck. Right now, they have to roll with Brandon because they don't know what's going to happen with these fake lawsuits.
I don't understand how our legal system is allowing this to happen.
Well, every every part is run by Democrats. So when you have a one-party system, then that's what happens.
Well, you know, during COVID, I always said, before I passed away, I really hope that the governor of New York said real truth came out, and it did. So that's all I can really hope for, and is to keep speaking the truth, and hopefully people will open their eyes to really what's going on. And that's all we can do at this point, other than just keep speaking the truth.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who else the Democrats have, though, because they will not select Robert Kennedy. I'm not even going to waste my time even. For a minute, I was debating whether or not I wanted to register as a Democrat so I could vote for Kennedy, but I just don't see that being likely.
Kind of funny that you said that, because I actually thought about doing that myself, but I think it would be kind of a wasted vote, honestly. In the long run, I think it would be kind of a wasted vote. I mean, it's, you know, the thought had crossed my mind about doing that, but and really, in the state of Tennessee, it really wouldn't matter much anyway, because I'd really hopefully foresee us going red again.
So let's go over this week's Broccoli Man episode.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've seen Jamar yet.
No.
So Jamar is a liberal media major at Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology. So he loves going to SHIT. And he has the Guinness Book of Records for most heart attacks and still being alive. So he's up to booster number 80, and his parents told him that he can't get any more gene therapies.
That's pretty good. Very creative.
So this guy's been one of my characters for a few years now. So if you're ready, I'll go ahead and get this going here.
Yeah, let's go and get it going.
All right. So Jamar is done with gene therapies and Dr. Freddy, or featuring Dr. Freddy. So I'll count down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello again, Jamar. Welcome back to school, son. I see we need to get you caught up on the last several boosters.
I don't know, B. My parent 1 and parent 2 said that if I get another gene therapy, they are pulling me out of Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology. I am so close to graduating SHIT that I do not want to go to another school.
Son, I do not need to hear any of that noise. I just want you to come in here, roll up your sleeve, and take these gene therapies as your school is requiring. It is far too important for you to continue helping me make money.
My insurance is about to drop me because I have had 53 heart attacks. My parent too said that my life insurance policy is not covered if I get another gene therapy.
I am not worried about your life insurance policy or you not being covered by your insurance. My only concern is that I need money. Now, son, you need your boosters so you can get into school. Soon you will need to provide proof of your gene therapies just to go into a store. If you are not current on your gene therapies, your microchip will stop you right here where you are and we will be called out to boost you. Are you prepared to allow that to happen?
Can you take out my microchip, B? I just want to live.
Oh, heavens no, son. These stores are now about to require you to have a microchip in order to enter the building. We will be requiring a microchip to come to my office. You will not be allowed to come get your gene therapies if you do not have your microchip.
Isn't that illegal, player?
Only in 8 states, son. And even then we might be able to get around their laws.
I feel like I was tricked into all this. Why does it seem like the less popular Brandon is, the more they want to go after us?
Now, son, there is no guarantee you will get a heart attack. These gene therapies have always been safe and effective.
If they are safe and effective, why do you have hospital staff waiting for me outside the door? And then there is also a coroner outside telling to sign something that said it is not the gene therapy that caused me to get a heart attack. Why are you making me sign stuff like I am about to die? And you expect me to keep believing this?
Son, we all know Brandon is not popular. We need to help boost his popularity so the World Economic Forum can take over the United States. We absolutely cannot have Donald Trump as president.
I understand, B. That is why I am voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He will put a stop to this.
Robert F. Kennedy? That is worse than Trump. He knows too much about what we are doing. If he becomes president, which he will not, I will have to go back to my home country so I do not get arrested.
So you support Brandon after all this mess?
If I have to, yes. He helps protect my money. Randomly for office is job security for me. I can always use a new condominium. But I prefer Michael Robinson Obama.
Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady.
Okay, son. Roll up that sleeve so I can kill you. I need to give you these gene therapies.
Do you really think I am that stupid, B?
Absolutely, son. You're 99% something, Ducko. My job is just to make sure I enforce gene therapy restrictions.
So why should I get the gene therapies if all you want to do is help me die?
No, son, you are not supposed to think about it. You are just supposed to roll up your sleeve and accept your fate. My job as a doctor is to sell these gene therapies. In doing so, it means that I get paid more monies than I can ever dream for. It is not that I dislike you, son. I just like my money a lot more than I like you.
I think it sounds rather sus that a new strain is announced to the world on August 17. Then on August 18 we are told they have a gene therapy for that specific strain. And it will be ready on September 10. How did they get out the gene therapy for this strain so fast, B?
Now, my son, we are doing this for your own good.
How is my dying the best thing for me?
Well, son, we need to get Earth's population under 500 million worldwide. We need to protect our resources for the 1%. Keeping the 99% alive ruins our opportunity to take over the world.
I am not willing to give up my life and die so that everyone can get rich off me, bro.
That is the very story, son. Now why have you not rolled up your sleeve? Also, why is there not a bloody scam on that face?
I hope you appreciated that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I appreciate all of those little cartoons that you make.
Well, I've been working on them for years, so I'm just sad that that only has 13 views.
Wow. Well. I don't know. I mean, have you? I'm assuming you've shared it on your Facebook, correct?
Often, yeah.
Okay. I was curious. I don't know. I don't really do any other social media except for Facebook, really. And it's not that I'm just obsessed with Facebook. It's just I've always had a Facebook, and I've tried to do other social media, but I just have other things to do other than stay on social media all day, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Trump's mugshot, have you seen it?
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he's dead.
It reminds me, and not making fun of him, like he's looking like the Terminator, like, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be pissed, too. Wouldn't you be mad?
Yeah, so they're arresting a lot of the most top lawyers in America. And now all of them are going to be able to go against this district attorney who out of Atlanta. And I guess these people think they're very important here, and they I'm sorry, I just don't think that Fannie Willis is going to be a match for any of these people. I'll take I will take Giuliani over Fannie Willis any day of the week.
I really believe, though, she's just the face of it. I believe that there's a bigger machine behind her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but that's the low end. So we all know what's going to happen, though. That if they can get this into the courts, then they will be able to get some arrest out of this. Or they will be able to find guilty pleas, and then whatever side it is, it'll be appealed, and it'll go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Well, I really hope nobody pleads guilty.
I don't think they will.
I would ride this out till I was dead. Just saying. There's no way in hell that I would admit to anything to these people. Not like I have anything to admit for. But, I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're smart, not a damn one of them would plead for anything. And that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that there's going to be that one or two in there that are going to do that. And that's what and that's why they arrested so many. But hopefully these people are smart enough, which I think they are, that that's not going to happen.
No, I don't think any of those people are going to plead guilty that got arrested today or yesterday.
And Giuliani's a smart man. I mean, he turned the city of New York around, and look what kind of cesspool it has become now. I mean, it's terrible. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely
but it's
terrible.
Liberal, though. It's so liberal.
I know. But now it's gotten really bad, especially whenever you've got Lady Gaga's dad fussing about it. You know, I mean, it's all fine and good, all fine and dandy until they're having to live in what they voted in.
Well, wait till C40 stuff comes in. I'm going to be laughing my brains out when all these people are saying, I didn't know that they were going to ban meat in my city. I didn't know they were going to take my car away.
After you posted that the other night, I was reading about that, and I didn't see Nashville on that, so.
No, not Nashville.
No, but I was looking around. I was looking around to see who all was on there, because, I mean, I would just, yeah, that would be, I think that, I don't even know how that happened. I mean, do these people even know what they're voting for when they're voting to vote stuff like that in? Really?
Well, you have some of the most liberal cities in the world. And 14, they were able to get 14 of them to sign on. That's why it's the C40. So 40 cities have agreed to this.
So in liberal cities, the most poorest cities in the United States of America, and they've gotten these people to vote this way, to vote this in, and they have no idea what they voted for. Makes sense to me. What do you think?
Oh, there! Don't worry. In 2029, when these cities stop putting meat and dairy on the shelves, then they'll find out. Right now, they either don't know or they're telling you it's not going to happen.
So, just for the people that don't know what that is, can you please explain what that is to the people?
Yeah. So, 14 American cities and 40 in total have decided. For Agenda 2030, that they are going to have zero carbon emissions taken to another level. So they've decided in unison that all these cities will ban dairy products in the city. They will ban meat. You will not be allowed to drive a car in said city. So I don't know exactly how materials or anything will be delivered into said city, because they'll need a truck. But what do I know? You'll be allowed to take one small airplane flight every 3 years. And you'll be allowed to purchase 3 clothing items every year.
So can you tell people, like, some of the cities? Because that's very interesting.
Now, let me see if I'm just working off memory here. I want to see if I remember them now. Austin, Texas, Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, Portland, Seattle, Phoenix, and I feel like I'm missing one or two. I know I said Chicago.
Did you say Seattle. I remember that. Basically,
New Orleans and Philadelphia was the two that I missed.
Okay. Wow. I bet these people, you know, and I've been to New Orleans many times. I mean, best food out there, like, hands down, seafood. Talk about some mad people when that happens.
Yeah, they don't call them raging Cajuns now, and no one's nothing.
Yeah. They don't call them raging Cajuns for nothing. I mean, like I said, these people have no idea what they voted in. No clue.
And these people still have no idea. We could be laughing about this stuff, and then they're going to say, oh, that's not real. They'll find out it's real eventually.
So my question is, okay, so you have Robert Kennedy, and this is a different Robert Kennedy, which is a senator down there in Louisiana. I really liked him a lot.
I thought that was Joe Kennedy.
No, his name is Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
And so anyway, I'm just kind of curious if people like him are going to try to stop this.
I don't know.
Because let me tell you, I mean, he's very much a staunch conservative.
I've heard him. I've played a bunch of his clips on the show. But there's no push to stop any of this.
So that's my question. I'm kind of really disappointed if that's the case. You would think that he would be more up in arms to stop this.
Well, you don't hear anybody with resolutions out there in Congress or Senate trying to stop this from happening.
Who decided to push this in?
The World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab.
So for the people that don't know who he is, because there's a whole lot of people that still don't know who he is, please tell them who he is.
At this point, I don't know if I could tell people anymore. If you don't know who Klaus Schwab or George Soros or any of those people are by now, then I can't help you.
I really think there's a lot more people that know the name George Soros than the dude Klaus Schwab. I really believe that. I don't think there's as many people that know who Klaus is as the Robert, as the Soros. I don't really know why that is, but I can almost bet that would be the case.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's the guy that runs the World Economic Forum.
He just runs the world, period. Him and Soros, pretty much. Yeah. My question is, and two, another thing that really, you know, bothers me is how these people actually come into power.
Oh, Klaus Schwab's father was a big head honcho when Adolf Hitler was in power.
Seems a lot of people don't know that. You know, and that's what the scary thing about it is some people don't know, they don't care, they're blinded to the truth. And they don't think all this stuff is intertwined together. They don't think all this stuff is intertwined together, and it is. But that's my outlook on Klaus. Not a good guy.
The average person out there, if I ask people to share stuff, oh, I don't have to, because enough people know. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how it works. I remember when I was running Bare Faces Legal back in 2020, and asking people to share stuff, like, no, I don't have to do anything. We don't have to raise funds or write to companies. We just have to vote for Trump in November. And that's what a majority of the people said to me. It's like they don't have to do squat because they know that their chosen leader is going to win. But that's not how it works.
Unfortunately not. But I really hope this time.
Because the average person doesn't want to do anything when it comes to fighting for freedom. They think that just because they hit a like button on Spybook once a week that they've done their civic duty.
I'll tell you this. So some of my friends work for the government, and they really can't say much because they'll lose their jobs, which is sad. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate,
yeah, but
you know, they really...
If somebody's working at Skank of America, I'm sorry, there's other jobs out there if they're going to force a scam on you. You can go work somewhere else. But I'm not scam-wearing. I don't know if I told you or not, but I was looking for a new day job while COVID was a thing a few years back, and I had several jobs tell me that during a Zoom interview, I didn't even have the job yet. I was being interviewed, and they told me I needed to wear a scam for the Zoom call.
That's weird.
Yeah, if it was just one, I'd laugh it off, but this was several.
So is that supposed to stop you from getting COVID or them,
I guess,
like over Zoom?
Maybe, yeah, some people think that.
Interesting. I would have never thought that. I never was asked to do that over Zoom during that time period.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how many times I ran into that same issue.
Interesting.
Hold on, my cat wants to leave the room here. Give me a second.
Okay.
If you have something, go ahead.
I was going to say, I need to take a small break and tend to my dogs.
That's fine. I can, I got clips to play.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'll find something here.
Okay, I'll be back.
All right. Have fun.
Uh-huh.
Someone sent this to me yesterday. A guy, was that John Harold or something? Forgive me, I'm forgetting his name, but tweeted to me yesterday. And he said, hey, Dan, is this normal? They found this email. Now, let me say candidly, I know the people in this email, matter of fact, well, worked with them for a long time. And they said, is this normal? You're not going to hear this anywhere else. The answer up front is no. Well, what? Folks, this is an email they found to the Robert L. Peters address. I'm going to play a Newsmax clip from this in a minute. Some great work by Marco Polo. Didn't get enough credit, by the way, and James Rosen on this. But this is an email where they're requesting to sign off protection for Natalie Biden and Hunter Biden. And what they're doing is they're saying we don't want protection during this trip, during this time. So someone said to me, Dan, is this normal? Folks, signing off protection, in my experience, meaning we don't want the protective detail here, but we want it to pick up again later, only happens for basically one reason, in my experience. Well, anyone in the chat have a guess as to what it is? Well, let's just say you're the head of Burkina Faso, right? You're the Burkina Faso, the head of government, right? And you, yes, Rumpov Steel Skin says you're trying to hide something. Yes, sir. Yes, I just read the name. Yes, sir. I have never, ever seen them sign off like this for family members of the vice president. Again, I know the guys in this detail. Now, the president cannot sign off. The president cannot sign off protection. It doesn't matter. But the rest of them can. This is super weird that on this foreign trip, they didn't want them to have protection for what looks appears to be 4 days. That says to me, ladies and gentlemen, something was up. That's why this Robert Peters email is going to have the keys to all of the kingdom in it. This alias Joe Biden was using. There is zero doubt in my mind they were up to something. I only remember one protectee doing it during my time. Not going to say who it was, but I was told it's because he's a slumlord in New York and went to go collect the rent and he was embarrassed. I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't know because they signed off and I wasn't there. And it surprised everyone. The detail leader's like, hey, we're good today. I go, what do you mean we're good? He signed off. What do you mean he signed off? I only heard later it was like some slumlord thing. You don't sign off unless you're up to shady stuff. Here's what makes me believe this is going to get even worse for Biden. This is a great report from James Rosen at Newsmax. He's talking about this other email address, this Robert Peters email address, a fake name Biden used. By the way, hat tip Marco Polo found this a while ago, too. And where they hid this email address. They're like, oh, was it a Hillary Clinton thing? No, it was a government email. So it was what? .eop, Executive Office of the President, .whitehouse.gov? No. They hid Biden's email in DISA. What's DISA? Exactly. They thought you'd never find it. Listen to this.
That issue is a set of emails that one of Vice President Biden's staff aides, John S. Flynn, sent to Mr. Biden in the spring of 2016, prepping the boss for various meetings with top Ukrainian officials, and which used the vice president's hidden account, the address for which was robert.l.peters@pci.gov. As you can see, Flynn also copied Hunter Biden, a private citizen, at a time when the latter served on the board of Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. Now Newsmax has learned through intelligence community sources that it was an elite IT unit of the Defense Department that hosted the email domain for the Robert Peters address. The agency's stated missions, however, call into question whether its involvement in the provision of a hidden email account for the vice president for such purposes was appropriate, given that the office of the vice president is not in the chain of command and possesses no statutory authority or duties relating to the armed forces beyond the nomination of candidates for the service academies. The Defense Information Systems Agency, or DISA, describes itself as a combat support agency, quote, conducting operations to enable lethality across all warfighting domains, defending the DoD network from cybersecurity threats attacking our nation's warfighters.
Do you see why they hid it there? Everybody's like going through these machinations about why was it in DISA? The defense, intelligence, strategic, whatever thing, why was it in? Because no one thought they would find it there. That's why don't get overly complicated about it. You act like Biden's smart. He needed a secret web address within the government domain to conduct business that he thought no one would look, so he set up a fake email in an agency he thought no one would find. So how did they find it? Because his idiot son dropped his freaking laptop off and left it there with all these emails on there. That's how. They would have never found it otherwise. That's how they found the Robert Peters thing. And then the FOIA produced this. Folks, this thing has just started. Oh, by the way, when did you catch it, guys, in that thing? What were the emails through the DISA PCI address to Robert Peters? What were they about? Oh, Ukraine. We have just scratched the surface, man. How do I know that? Elizabeth Stauffer at the Washington Examiner. Apparently, Joe Biden is obsessed with and irritated by media coverage surrounding his son. No one even wants to mention it around him. Look, the article's in the newsletter today. Bongino.com/newsletter. He is freaking out over this. Why? Because he thinks he's in no trouble? Why would he be freaking out if he's not in trouble? He absolutely knows he's effed on this. He knows it. and he knows he damn well better get impeached. They said he's even more rattled because House investigators have begun to reveal evidence of his own complicity in his family's overseas business dealings. That's, you see now why I get pissed off when I read these chat rooms and people are like, nothing's going to happen. Everybody stop. Listen, I get it. The Republican Party generally sucks. I mean, one of the rules of the show is most Republicans are really Democrats in D.C., but no Democrats are really Republican. But this is happening. Biden is clearly annoyed and irritated because he knows this stuff is surfacing every day. You'd rather not see it? I'm not talking to you in the audience. You all are great. I'm just saying, like, you go read chat rooms and you get these negative Nancys, you know, because everything is sucked in the past. They don't want to do anything in the future. That doesn't make any sense. This guy's hurting right now. He's in real trouble. He better be rattled. I mean, these emails are going to get, I'm telling you, surface, it is just scratch. You have no idea how bad this is going to get for Biden. He ain't going to be the nominee, folks. He ain't going to be the nominee. That explains, by the way, the COVID hysteria. I discussed this yesterday. The COVID hysteria is absolutely 100% a distraction right now. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
All right. So did you make it back? If not, that's fine. I'll play another clip.
Hello?
All right, so I'll go ahead and play another clip while we're waiting for Leslie from Tennessee to rejoin us here.
I'm back.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Sorry about that. My poor dogs, they've been sick, so Mama had to take care of them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm not upset. I understand.
She feels like she's in trouble because she threw up on my comforter and she was going to throw up on my sheets. I was like, oh no, we're in the middle of talking. I was like, great.
No, if
pets
you need
are the
to
best.
It,
you know?
I understand. I can wait.
Oh, we're good. I'm done now. But my whole point was that just like, pets are the best thing on the face of earth, you know, really.
Well, we got a bunch of them.
Really? How many do you have?
6 cats and 2 dogs.
Oh, wow. We used to have, me and Dodger and Daisy, we used to have a cat. And then she was 18 and a half, and I had to put her down, but I had her for, she was a Siamese. And her name is Chloe. I loved her. But so my allergies are just way too bad to have cats anymore. So I have to.
We have a good sized house, so everybody has plenty of room. It's not like everybody's on top of each other or anything.
Yeah, I hear you. She's sitting here looking at you right now like, who's that? But anyway, animals are just the best, you know?
So one thing we didn't get into really was the Trump versus Tucker Carlson yesterday, which is going to be one of the most watched videos in the history of the internet.
I haven't watched all of it yet. I started to watch all of it, but I really haven't had time to finish it up. But it's definitely, I want to finish up watching that though.
So I have one clip. It's 11 minutes long. Tucker and Trump with the liberal hive mind.
Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, a channel solely focused on exposing the abundant hypocrisy of the left. Alright, so I finished watching the Fox News Republican debate, and then of course it was time to delve into the Donald Trump x Tucker arc that seems to be shattering the internet. Now unfortunately, since a recent change at Twitter, or X, we no longer have access to actual video views, but rather just impressions, so I guess for the most part it's going to be a guesstimate in terms of how many legitimate views the video has garnered. But in terms of impressions, as I'm recording this video, it's about to break 200 million. So I think very much worthy of the description, breaking the internet. It's a new media age. I want to give you guys my overall opinion On Tucker Carlson's debate night with Donald J. Trump, we got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. All right, folks, so let's first start off with the strategy here. You know, if you listen to the Democrats and if you listen to the Never Trump neocons, they'll tell you that Donald Trump's a coward for skipping the debate. But I do not agree with that idea whatsoever. A couple days ago, when the news actually dropped that Tucker was going to be dropping a Trump interview during the same time slot as the 2024 GOP primary debates, I made a prediction as to how this whole thing was most likely going to play. And look, I think my prediction was correct. I think Trump ended up on top. I think it was the right thing to do for a couple different reasons. Firstly, there's no real talent out there. You know, Vivek's a great talent, but I think he's more of a novelty. Everyone else on that stage, there's nothing really going on there. There's nothing to really contend with Donald Trump. It's just a bunch of classic cringe politicians. There's nothing new, nothing interesting, and I think Trump obviously knows that. If he pulls himself out of the picture and just lets the world see what there is on offer from the establishment GOP, they're going to tank themselves. Nobody's going to skyrocket. I mean, what's probably going to happen is that Ron DeSantis is going to go down a little bit on his performance. Nikki Haley might go up a little bit because she came out swinging harder. Vivek's most likely going to pass Ron DeSantis in the polling now. And so there'll be a little bit of shuffling, I think, behind Donald Trump. But for the most part, it's relatively unchanged. And then, of course, secondly, Donald Trump doesn't have to subject himself to the awful moderation practices or ridiculous attacks from clowns like Chris Christie. He doesn't have to deal with a clearly biased onslaught, not only from the candidates, but from the network itself hosting the debate. Trump alluded to this in the Tucker interview.
Why aren't you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me that, and many people said you shouldn't do them, but you see the polls have come out, and I'm leading by 50 and 60 points, and, you know, some of them are at 1 and 0 and 2, and I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president? Should I be doing that? And a network that isn't particularly friendly to me, frankly. You know, they were backing Ron DeSanctimonious like crazy, and now they've given up on him. I mean, it's a lost cause. It reminded me very much of 2016. You know, in 2016, I went through the same stuff and had to fight them all the way, and then they became very friendly after I won, or just about when I was winning. But I just felt it would be more appropriate not to do the debate. I don't think it's right to do it. If you're leading by 50, 60, I have one poll, I'm leading by 70 points, and I'm saying, why am I doing it? And I'm going to have 8 people, 10 people, whoever made the debate, I don't know how many it is, but I'm going to have all these people screaming at me, shouting questions at me, all of which I love answering, I love doing, but it doesn't make sense to do them. So I've taken a pass.
And I think he was right. In fact, Trump's own family was banned from the night itself.
Right now, trying to ban people from actually having discourse about politics.
How un-American.
Probably shouldn't surprise any of us, but that's what it is. And I've been told by others that I would be able to go in. So they said we weren't able to go in, then they said they weren't, now that we're here.
Wait,
and a candidate that...
Who said you can't go in the spin room?
They're telling me right
now, Fox won't
let me into the spin room.
That's what the American people should know. This is the kind of
they're telling him, he works for security here, but they're telling him that I'm not allowed to go in there. Because the candidates that they've been boosting while simultaneously trying to cut down Trump for the last, 2 years, didn't perform as they had hoped. So they can't have someone who can maybe be a representative of my father. Just like a few weeks ago when I was canceled after the first indictment, I was scheduled to go on. And about 5 minutes before I'm on, I found out I'm no longer on because apparently I wouldn't be a great surrogate to talk about my father's indictment. Just so we understand what we're dealing with here. So it shouldn't surprise any of us. And it's also why Trump was 100% right to not go to this debate.
Exactly.
I don't think there was anything lost here. I think probably more was gained. It's hard to say exactly how it's going to play out until we see some of the polls or some of the post-debate polls. Just making my prediction, I think Trump remains on top, and I think Trump comes out on top even stronger than pre-debate. Not only because the rest of the field looked like a bunch of clowns, but because the Tucker-Trump interview really humanized Trump. I think that was also an angle that he took. For the most part, he stayed calm, remained rational. You know that infamous clip of Donald Trump claiming I could be presidential if I want to? I think that might have been the angle. A lot of people were probably hoping for Trump to come out swinging, being the bombastic Trump that people know and love, or at least people love or hate. But instead, he came out quite poised. You know, he stuck to policy, he stuck to the successes of his previous administration. I think he was quite fair, even appearing somewhat vulnerable at points and being honest, like this moment right over here.
I have never seen spirit like there is right now. Even coming down here, just at the people on the road that are just absolutely going crazy. And the reason is, I think they like me, and I know they love my policies. I hope they like me, too. You know, a lot of people say they don't like me, but they like my policies. I think they like me. But I have never seen spirit like it is right now.
And many times attempting to appeal to the other side as well.
You have great people in the Democrat Party. You have great people that are Democrats. Most of the people in our country are fantastic, and I'm representing everybody. I'm not just Republicans or conservatives.
Right.
I represent everybody. I'm the president of everybody.
You know, he came with a different kind of energy. Obviously, I think it was a strategic move. I think he's testing the waters like he always does. Just like he does when he does his crowd work. He tries to figure out what slogans work, what jokes catch and what don't. He does his rallies, constantly taking the temperature in the room and figures out where he needs to be to meet whatever crowd is in front of him. I think that's exactly what he was doing. I think this was a calculated tactic to come off different and hopefully be more appealing to maybe independents or people who might have been on the fence. People who view Trump as this crazy extremist, you know, nut job who can't control himself or his emotions. I think he was trying to appeal to those people. And an interview like this obviously humanized him. If he was to take to that debate stage, he'd have 30 seconds to try to get it all in, to refute claims and attacks being made against him. Then that stupid bell would start ringing. He wouldn't have time to do it. The moderators would go to somebody else. And the whole, you know, process would obviously be frustrating because the whole mainstream media debate format is antiquated. It's a relic of the past. It's trash. It's obviously a whole spectacle for TV ratings. You don't really get to know most of these candidates. Having Trump sit down with Tucker for nearly an hour and just seeing him unfiltered, him speaking, him as a human being rather than a politician, and most importantly, him not just regurgitating prepackaged talking points like the rest of those neocon losers on the stage, but rather him speaking in a conversation, just giving his thoughts, his experiences, and his perspective, it's simply a breath of fresh air, and I think it helps you get an idea of who the man is. A whole lot better, a whole lot cleaner. I personally thought that it was a breath of fresh air. Maybe a little bit boring at times, to be completely honest, but I think it might have been a wise tactical decision. You know, Joe Biden does these interviews and they're full of gaffes. He's constantly lying, and I think the contrast couldn't be more clear. So that's pretty much my overall view. I think the most important thing here is to wait for polling results. I want to see how this Fox News debate slash Tucker Donald Trump interview situation plays. I've essentially made my prediction as to what I think is most likely. I think Trump is likely to gain here. He's likely to gain possibly with independents. For the most part, I don't think there's anything crazy or viral to cover other than the fact that the Twitter posts got over 200 million impressions as of this recording. 200 million. Maybe the one viral moment that people seem to be posting is the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Do you think Epstein killed himself sincerely?
I don't know. I will say that, you know, he was a fixture in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
I don't know what Barr said about it either. I have no idea what he said. What did he say? Probably.
He said that they were going to do this investigation. They never did the investigation. It's never been public.
Well,
and they hid it. And, like, why are they doing that? And clearly Barr knew. But why would Bill Barr be covering up the death of Jeffrey Epstein?
Barr became so petrified, so frightened of being impeached. They were going to impeach him. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
It's not a big moment in history. But they said, we're going to impeach. You know, they play a much rougher game, the left, the lunatics. And they were going to impeach Bill Barr. And he was petrified. Now, how do you not get impeached? Don't do any of this stuff. But he didn't do the job there. I don't know what he did with Epstein, but possibly he didn't.
Do you think
do
it's
that.
Possible that Epstein was...
Oh, sure, it's possible. I mean, I don't really believe... I think he probably committed... He had a life with, you know, beautiful homes and beautiful everything, and he, all of a sudden, he's incarcerated and not doing very well. I would say that he did, but there are those people, there are many people, I think you're one of them, right? But a lot of people think that he... He knew a lot on a lot of people.
He was.
People are angry posting this clip claiming that Donald Trump believes that Epstein, you know, ended himself. But I don't know. For the most part, it seemed like he wasn't really well-versed on the topic. He played both angles and didn't want to jump to conclusions. Really, not that big of a deal. If that's the biggest concern or the biggest criticism, I don't think the Trump team is too worried. Although, of course, I mean, personally, it would have been nice to hear Donald Trump say, no, he definitely didn't end himself, because, I mean, that's what I believe. But it is what it is. Maybe he's going to research the topic now and come with a different perspective next time. You know, people are malleable. People change. That's the beautiful thing, especially of these non-career politicians, is that they're open to ideas and they change their opinions about things. So we'll have to see where that goes. For the most part, quite tactical, quite poised. Most importantly, headed into 2024, considering Joe Biden's the opponent, quite coherent, which is a breath of fresh air. I think Trump did a good job. And I think the Fox News GOP debate, in terms of ratings, impressions, and I guess influence over where this election is going, probably got absolutely dwarfed by the Trump interview. That's pretty much where I'm at. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section. If you enjoyed the video, make sure to leave a like and possibly subscribe. You know, we'd love to have you here. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.
Okay, so I hope that was okay.
Yeah, that was fine. I watched, like I said, I watched the first part of it, most of that I had seen, and then I intend on watching the rest of it. I've just not had the opportunity to, you know, to do that yet, but I definitely plan on watching the whole thing. In my honest opinion, I think that he did the right thing. I think that it was a smart thing not to go. Those, like you said, the war hawks on the stage, I believe that none of them, not a one, have any comparison to him. And I think that if he would have
They would have kept feeding Chris Christie so that he can get a zinger in on Trump. That's what they would hope for.
Yeah, it would have been a constant smash battle. I mean, and that's all Chris Christie would have done. I mean, it would have been a constant. It would have just been a disaster. It was best that the – I thought it was funny when the moderator said the elephant not in the room. That was pretty funny. Of course, he was talking about Trump, but
– Yeah.
Yeah, because they ask about that. So that was pretty great, though. And another thing that I thought was quite amusing when I was watching the debate, actually, was whenever they would say anything negative against Trump, they actually, the people in the audience would boo them. Great, too. I don't know. It was amusing. It was amusing at times, but it was a flat debate. There was nobody that really stood out to me. And like you said, you know, Nikki Haley was all about especially war pounding. And, I mean, I get that she's got, you know, foreign policy experience, especially since she was in Trump's cabinet. But on that same token, nobody wants this proxy war. I think for most people, you know, that I've talked to, I mean, it could only lead us at this point to World War III.
Yes, and you got seven fools up there that think World War III is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until China and other countries get involved and are against the United States. And then right now I feel like that our military, that we're not ready. We're not prepared. They have weakened. Between the Obama administration, you know, I know Trump had turned things around, but then you have Biden that came back in and weakened our military.
Hey, we have a caller. Bianchi wants to join us.
Okay.
Bianchi from Baton Rouge. Welcome in, sir.
How you doing, Proof?
Welcome
your
back.
Guest. Tennessee.
Well, this is our new Thursday night co-host, Leslie.
Okay,
hey,
Leslie. Well, my daughter's name Leslie. I was going to ask you later on about those two state reps that they reelected. After one was on video committing a crime by attacking motorists in an illegal traffic stop, but how is it that I see where the mother of the chef for the Obamas is asking how did her son die? It wants to be investigated. Now, this is a black mother. Now, why come you don't have marches and press conferences on this man's death like it would be if it was a white police officer killing a black man?
So I think I saw this right. on some news outfit today. I didn't save the video, but allegedly they found the body separated from his clothes. So they took his clothes off, I guess, and maybe they threw his clothes in the water to hide the DNA. I don't have a clue. But he was found naked.
And he also had bruises and marks on his body, a broken finger. I mean, what do you do to break your finger and endure that pain? So
you talking
still
about Barry Sitaro having those broken fingers?
No, it was the chef.
Oh, well, remember Barry was wearing a bandage too.
I'm saying the man was having relationship with Michelle Obama. That's what's going on there. Because Barack is no man for Michelle. I'm telling you. I mean, just look at that woman. Barack is a pimp squeak. But this chef was buff, built, and so on and so on. And he was probably serving her breakfast in bed. Then things began to happen. Probably wasn't the first time. That's where I am on that.
You don't think that Barry and the chef had a thing?
Well, I don't think the chef would go that way. I think that his tendency would go for the female. And if he had served her breakfast.
But if he's going after the female, I think Big Mike is more masculine than Barry.
Well, that's yet to be proved. But if he had served her a tray and she was done eating and she was doing her nails, and if he came to get the tray, she moved her hand and spilled the orange juice in her lap, she would have asked him, could you help me because my nails are wet to get this up?
Oh, wow.
And whatever she had on opened up, she's naked underneath. So you think a young man is not going to go for that? I would.
Provided they're female parts. I don't know.
Well,
ever since I saw that pronoun sloshing on the Ellen show, I can't go. I can't 100% say for sure.
Well, you got to.
If you're right, I understand.
Yeah, you got to assume that he's right. But Leslie, what I want to know, you had two black representatives, one from the Philippines. And the other, I guess he's a black American. But the one for the Philippines, I think his name is Jones. How in the heck did he get elected and he's on film committing a crime, a felony, attacking motorists that didn't want to be stopped at an illegal traffic stop that was supposed to be for some issue? I don't know if it was guns or George Floyd. But what's wrong with the people in Tennessee?
He is actually from Oakland, California, and he actually went to Fisk in Vanderbilt University, which is not too far down the road from me. So I don't know really how you got that he was from a different country. And as far as, like, you know, go ahead.
He may be from Oakland, California, and he was schooled by another Schiller. And I don't remember what her last name, another activist, long-standing activist. He was schooled in his thought, but he's from the Philippines. And you do the research on his lineage. Well, look at his hair. That's not no normal African-American hair. Let's be realistic with it. It's not. But regardless, if he was coming out of Oakland, where the Oakland Black Panthers and all that was back during that time, the founder of Kwanzaa, and his criminality, well, we can imagine how he got schooled. But the video is live and plain as day of him committing a crime, attacking somebody as they was in traffic.
Are you talking about, okay, so the one I know of is he's jumping up and down on a police car. Is that what you're talking about?
No, he was, apparently they had a traffic stop going through Tennessee, I guess coming out of Memphis, that's you cross the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either going from the bridge or toward the bridge, toward Mississippi, I guess. And it's on video of him attacking a motorist with a traffic cone.
I've not seen that video. I'll definitely have to look that up, though.
Yeah, you should. And if you look at the people that was around him, that one lady, and I can't think of her name, she goes back. She was up on stage at the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. She's another activist, probably a Marxist, mm-hmm. and I can't think of her name. Real short-haired white woman.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people are left over. Then you got your other state rep of the three of them, Gloria, who's a former school teacher. She's just using them for photo ops and everything, vote Gloria. So what I'm saying is this. What they've done is they used the tragedy at the school with that transvestite shooter. We have yet to see the manifesto. I'm anxious to see what that's all about. But they're just using those kids because the kids have been miseducated. They're using the kids for an anti-gun movement.
Yeah, but you do understand, though, that there's parents that are now involved of those children that that have chosen not to have that release. I don't know really the answer to that, but they have actually been on TV here in the Nashville area and spoke against having that, I guess, quote, manifesto. I don't really call it a manifesto. I just call it mad rantings. And here at the end of the day, okay, and whoever's affiliated with what, those three people were ejected because of what they did, and that was they caused a chaotic moment out on the floor. And so, but they wanted it to be that way, the way it went down, because here's the thing. They wanted to be martyrs because martyrs get the attention. Do you understand where I'm going with this? And so they told the two of them, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, actually told one of the other representatives that was going to not vote them out to vote them out so they could go down as martyrs and have to go through the reelection process. And then that's how Kamala Harris got to Tennessee. So it was all for attention. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was all a plan, and I'm like you. I mean, everything leads back to somewhere. And I have no doubt in my mind that what you're saying, of course, is the truth. If you trace back, you know, that is kind of an interesting lineage to be from. But at the end of the day, you've got to look at they had to get to this point because they've got to have their attention. They've got to be martyrs. So they had to figure out some way because they weren't getting enough attention. You know what I mean? Because right now,
I hear what you're saying, but it don't make no logic. The legislature got the ability to make the rules on the ethical behavior of its members, and they act beyond that. They need to have been kicked out like they were. And see, what's happened is that they use the color of these two guys' skin in order to spur it up the way it was. And that's you should have held your ground. And that
people
also
are afraid.
Goes.
Do you not understand that, though? People are afraid.
Because they're miseducated, Leslie. Go ahead. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, you're fine. But at the end of the day, I believe adamantly in my heart, that the people here in Tennessee are not prejudiced people. Of course, you have that everywhere, right? You cannot kill that. If somebody's going to be that way, there's nothing that can change them but God at the end of the day. But overall, at the end of the day, if they don't remain relevant, and that is to be martyrs for the color of their skin and to get higher attention for the Biden administration, they've got to remain relevant somehow. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I don't know why come they would be martyrs. In Tennessee, being the home of who, David Crockett, and also was it the Jackson proof, President Jackson, Well, it's a long shot from being like that back during those days in the 1846, 1845, and what it is today.
It is. Everything has changed, and that's my whole point. You're falling down the road, and I'm falling because things have changed today, because it's a different time that we live in. Because, like I said, people have progressed. I would hope people have progressed. In my heart of hearts, I believe people have progressed. And but, again, they wanted to – he said specifically – this was on another talk radio show here I was listening to in Nashville. And the representative talked to the radio show host and said that Jones had told him that they wanted to be kicked off because they had to be. They wanted it for attention. Because if they don't remain relative, there's nothing – they have no ground. Because in the end of the day –
they're being used by the anti-gun factions. And they're talking about the Tennessee state legislature coming up with gun reform, which is nothing more than violation of the Second Amendment. It's not going to happen. I mean,
and they are.
Happen. Why would you do that?
You're right. You're right. You're with me. You're still falling down the road with me. You may not think you are, but you really are. You really
now,
are falling
the
down
thing.
The road with me.
One of the problems that's in this is that, go back to what I talk about all the time, who's educating the kids in Tennessee, especially the white kids, because Tennessee is more white than it is black. So who's educating the kids in Tennessee? Because they don't know the history. They're not being educated in the foundation of the United States, in those precarious documents, and your heroes that came out of that state. Hell, we wouldn't be where we are today with the freedoms and liberty if it wasn't for them.
But it's not just Tennessee. It's all over the country. So tell me in general. It was just like today, okay? This is just an example, right? And I'm with you, like, who really is, you know, educating our children. But my question to you is, and they were talking about this on TV today, I was watching, you know, who is the U.S. Department of Education? What do they do? They've obviously been doing nothing for our children in this country now that are so far behind in reading, spelling, you know, reading, and people, they're not teaching cursive anymore. That's a good question. Who are really teaching these children? And also, it also depends on which part of the state did you go to, because you know as well as I do, money is everything, depending on where you go to. So, you know, you're going to get a better education in certain parts of the state as opposed to other parts. It just all depends on where you go to school.
Why come they haven't revealed the manifesto, any other case where you have individuals doing what that female done, the manifesto will be released to know what's in their mind. That way citizens can probably observe those same sort of tendencies in people in the future. And
you
say,
might
hey,
have heard me before on this whole manifesto thing. I don't believe in any manifestos because no young person is going to sit there and write multiple pages about what they want to do and why they're doing it. I don't even want to write like that. So just to expect an 18-year-old or something to write 20 pages up about what they want to do and why they're doing it, it's not happening. It's pre-written out for them, and they just whoever's their handler wrote it.
I can understand what you're saying, but if they say to everyone, where's the proof? That's all I – funny thing, we use the word proof.
Well, it's like having proof that Amazon didn't deliver you a package.
Because, you know, here's the thing. So Covenant School is basically about 35 minutes from me. That's with traffic. And, I mean, I've passed that place like many times, really not thought about it, not paid attention to it. And at the end of the day, you know, there's been lawsuits by several organizations here in Tennessee. I feel like eventually what they have will be released. And the funny thing about it is the day that happened, I actually went on to the shooter's LinkedIn and started taking pictures. And that was before the FBI started taking, you know, started taking everything down. Mm-hmm. And she had, you know, said to a friend of hers, I forgot the way she worded it, talking about, you know, about what was about to happen, not exactly in so many words. Things were about to change. I would like to go back and find the pictures, you know. I'm like you. I don't know why they would keep it because hidden, because a lot of that was public knowledge before the FBI took it down. They decided to take it down before the public started getting onto Facebook, LinkedIn, because it actually showed pictures of her before and after, you know, of her being, you know, transitioning from a female to a male. And I don't know what the answer is to this. I don't know why the parents would want to keep anything away from the public. I understand that it was their children, but also at the same time, I do believe that the public needs answers, and I'm definitely pro-Second Amendment. I mean, my whole family has been in the military. I mean, we're talking about my dad was in the Marines. I mean, great-grandparents, Battle of the Bulge, Iwo Jima, Korea. I mean, I'm a staunch advocate for the Second Amendment. I had a guy that was liberal, or whatever you want to call him, ask me if I was in the NRA's back pocket. I'm not a member of the NRA. I could care less about the NRA. But I do care about the rights that, you know, that everybody in this country, our parents, grandparents, or, you know, people currently serving, you know, that have lived, fought, died for this country. And I believe that whatever should be released, it should be public because, first of all, Audrey was an adult. She was not a minor. And she decided to go take the lives of these children. And you're talking about using public resources to stop her whenever these police officers made the decision to go in and risk their lives to stop her. The public deserves answers from this. And I don't understand why the parents of these children would not want this to be released, and they are. And I've actually got on some of the sites for some of the anti-gun advocates, and pretty much, of course, they go off on me. But at the end of the day, this is what I tell them. You can sit there and go off on me all you want to, but you're not helping your case. And we need to know why. And you can't just say, let's give up our guns, because we're not going to ever do that. Not most people I know anyway. And I think at the end of the day, they're afraid to release the information that Audrey put out there, because it's not going to help their case of these anti-gun advocates. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. But it just behooves me how this went down the way it did. Then they turn around and elect the guys back for election again.
That's, but it was going to happen.
And they made, pardon me?
But it was going to happen because of the districts that they were in.
Well, I figured that was the reason.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate because, again,
it goes to show
you know.
It goes to show you the mentality of the people in the district that they're in. If they didn't see this one guy committing a crime on the roadway, attacking motorists, and then they say that they want to vote for him, there's something wrong with these people.
So there's very something interesting, and I don't know if you could ever find it again, but if you look at Justin Pearson, he actually is, of course, he's a representative of Memphis. And he looks so different now than whenever he was attending college. I saw a video of him whenever he was in college. He was running for, I think it was student president. I mean, he was clean cut. His, you know, he was talking about, it had white people in this video, and he was talking about representing everybody. Now, like, whenever you see him up in the state house here in Nashville, it's almost like we're going to church. I mean, it's nothing to do with equality. Nothing. It is nothing to do with that boy that I saw that I felt like had a lot of promise in politics. I mean, he's totally changed. They have changed him. He is part of the machine now. He looks completely different. There's a picture of him that I have pulled up right now. And if you, it is like two different people of the video that I saw of when he was in school and that he was trying to start first trying to get in, you know, to politics, and then in the video now. It's like he got in to that side of it and he realized that he had to be something more to get ahead. And so,
well,
he's up there preaching.
If he comes from Oakland, I could just about tell you who groomed him. And I tell you, this one lady's name is Sheila. I can't think of her. It might be Jackson, but I can't think of her last name. And she goes
Sheila
way
Jackson,
back. But if he represent Memphis, look at the crime that's going on in Memphis. It's totally out of control.
So
what come that's not his concern?
So Pearson actually, he was... Hold on, he's not from California. He is actually from, he was from Memphis. The other Justin is the one that's from California.
And he's the one that's got the straight hair. Not the afro.
So Justin Pearson is the one that has the afro now. That was the one I was talking about that was in college, that was clean cut, that was running for I guess it was president of his student body, that sounded very well-spoken, very well-educated, sounded like, you know, he was, you know, wanting to help everybody, okay? And then now we're talking about, that's Justin Pearson. So Justin Jones is,
Jones,
I think, the one.
Is the one that came from California.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Well, he's the one that's been groomed by those remnants of factions out there in Oakland. And he's from the Philippines.
They both have been groomed. I'm telling you, if you could see that video from the time that he was in college till now, you're like, wow, totally different boy. Totally different. So they both had to be groomed. You can't tell me that just one of them. I think they've both been groomed. Again, they've sold out.
Well, why come Justin Jones wasn't prosecuted for trying to attack those motorists? It's right clear today he picked up a traffic cone and threw it, heralding into the driver's side of that little pickup truck. He could have killed that guy.
Well, you tell me. Why do you think?
Well, you have to look at who's the prosecutor where that's happened. If it's Shelby County, you know what's going on. And, you know, you look at something else. Shelby County, which includes Memphis, has a representative by the name of Steve Cohen, and he's white. And he's over a black district, practically, and the Congressional Black Caucus won't allow him to be a member. And his constituents are black. Now, if that's not racism, then what is it?
Yeah, but I've always been told that if you're black, you can't be a racist.
Well, if somebody tells you that, they are racist also.
I've had people tell me that. I've had black people tell me, if you're black, you cannot be a racist.
Well, you was listening to some fools.
Well, that's just, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, because there's a picture, and it had a black gentleman, and it had a white lady, and it had a baby. And the black gentleman was, you know, playing with the baby, and the mom had her head turned, and it had the comment, racism is taught. I agree with that. I don't lie for anybody, no matter what color you are, not to like me. Of course, you cannot make everybody like you in this world. It's unfortunate,
Leslie, let me tell you something, Leslie. That is a tool that they use to paralyze whites, stop you dead in your track when they call you a racist. Mm-hmm. That's what they use, and you fall for it.
But I know
racism
I'm not.
Racism, and I talk about you directly, but when you see people down on their knees kissing the shoes of blacks saying, oh, I'm sorry, and all that crazy, there's something wrong with these folks' minds.
Now, I would never ask a white person right now in 2023 to pop says, say sorry to me. I was telling I'm sorry for the institution of slavery. That happened hundreds of years before either one of us was born. I do appreciate when people acknowledge history, but when you say anybody that says anything erroneous in 2023, you got to call white, black, whatever, you got to call them out for what they are.
And that was a 25-year-old black engineering student. Well, he says he's 26. So that's the problem. The people that know better, they don't ever get the microphones in their face. So when you have a black person call you a racist, you call them a racist back. Racism is not about skin color. It's about the act. That act can be carried about by anyone at all.
If you want people to know that you're not a racist, when they say that you're racist, all you got to say is, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, and I don't think that I am. I'm sorry you feel that way. And let's go back to being.
Well, yeah, well, they believe that's the great equalizer. Just like if somebody's gay and they're arguing with you, they, at the end, if they're losing, they could say, well, you just don't like gay people. And they feel like that you just won. They just won the argument because they're gay and you're not. People
well,
have that
know,
one-upsmanship for some reason.
The thing is, and also the other systemic racist institution is the news media, because they don't report the news equally, not at all. When, like, you had this one white female that was beat up on the parking lot and drugged just for her purse, well, you see nothing in the news, about, especially the main news, nothing whatsoever, and it should be.
Well, it's unfortunate that more people like you, and was that your son that was talking earlier?
That's my grandson.
Your grandson? You should be very proud of him. It's just unfortunate that more people like you and him are not heard. You know, I feel like that our voices are, you know, drowned out by all the negativity and... you know, I feel like that they really try to divide us because, you know, that's the only way that they can conquer us and make us do what they want us to do. And I believe in the same time that inherently that people are overcoming our past. You know, I'm originally from Alabama. You know, I worked in Birmingham for a long time. You know, Birmingham didn't have the best reputation for a long time, but you know, I believe things could, you know, change. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, I've even posted stuff from Martin Luther King before and, you know, gotten flack for that, and I'm like, really? It's like you just cannot win for losing, you know. And at times you just don't even say anything.
Well, I tell you what about Alabama. I have to take my hat off to the governor for not falling prey to creating a separate black district, voting district there in, I guess it was in Birmingham. But that there is nothing more than racism coming down from the courts, promoting segregation. It don't make any sense. You got to put your foot down and say, hell no, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love the governor of Alabama. They call her Memaw. Because, you know, Kay Ivey is, you know, an older governor, but you know what? She's a good governor. She has fixed a lot of things in the state of Alabama. I don't think that any state is perfect. Hey, and let me ask you a question, not trying to get off the subject, but you do live in Baton Rouge?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Well, yeah, woo-hoo! He said he went to school here, so we moved. We relocated from Missouri.
We're from St. Louis. Well, I'm from St. Louis. He's originally from Alabama, and we have family in Birmingham, and I was just there not too long.
So, Roll Tide Roll, by the way.
The LSU, as a graduate of LSU, I will say I can never say those words, but with my family ties to Alabama, I will admit that I do like Alabama. But LSU versus Alabama, I got to go with LSU.
I hear you. But, you know, it's about to be on, so, you know, I can't wait for football season coming up. But also, too, trying to get back. You do know who
the most momentous. Yeah, the most momentous moment in my life is when Trump appeared at Alabama and the thunderous crowd. Also, he came to LSU, too, the thunderous crowd that he received when he was there. That's momentous.
Yeah, I actually went to whenever he came to Madison, Alabama, in 2016, I had several friends. We actually went to the rally. Of course, you know, nobody ever thought he had a chance to win. And so he did, but I thought it was a great rally. Man, that place was packed out. It was the high school there. And we had to walk a pretty good ways, but it was a great, you know, this was before Jeff Sessions decided to crap out on us. Man, I just knew then, like, when I heard him talk, and I didn't hear anything racist in what he was saying. You know, I mean, if he was really a racist, I wouldn't be a fan. I wouldn't be a fan, you know. He was a really good president. And I was going to ask you, too. So, since y'all live in Baton Rouge, do you know who Robert Kennedy is, that's the representative out there?
Yeah, he's a good politician. He's excellent.
Well,
Need more like him.
He is so funny. I get so tickled at him, some of the things that he says. I'll see him sometimes on TV, and so some of the things that come out of his mouth. We were kind of talking earlier about, what is it called, C-40 proof?
Yes.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the C-40?
I haven't heard of it. I probably have, but didn't pay no attention.
So I think this is kind of a thing that's kind of important. I'm just kind of wondering if it's not something that people in Louisiana should start paying attention to.
Well, I have never heard of C40, but if it's something that came out of his mouth, you just about can say it's pretty good.
Did you hear us talking about it earlier this evening?
Yeah, I did. I was multitasking, but I heard you mention it. I think you called him Joe Kennedy, but that's okay.
No, yeah, that was me.
Proof called him Joe Kennedy, but we were talking about the C-40, and we were talking about, I'm really kind of surprised that I personally think that he's an up-and-up politician. I think that he's great for the state of Louisiana. And I'm just kind of surprised, though, if this is kind of a big deal, that he's really not brought this to the forefront of the state of Louisiana and the people that he represents, because this is kind of a big deal whenever you start telling people, well, you can only wear 3 shirts, and, you know, you start limiting, you know, food and things like that that people can have.
Well, there's, you know, I'm a volunteer for a convention of states in Louisiana. I really enjoyed it. Calling for Article 5 convention. But
some of these politicians is not true, and I think where we make a mistake when you're voting for them. See, I vote for candidates because of the platform and the issues, and that's one of the reasons I voted Donald Trump, because of his platform. But when you ask a politician, a candidate, would he support your issues, and they will more likely say yes. But then you got to go further and ask them, well, would you support an override session in case the governor vetoed our proposal? And many of them won't say anything because they use that as a scapegoat. You know, in Louisiana, they got a Democratic governor. I don't know how the heck that was pulled off, but he vetoes every damn thing. And we was able to get enough people behind pushing their politicians to pass a bill and also override his veto when he vetoed a bill that will prevent young people less than 18 from undergoing puberty blocking drugs and gender reassignment surgeries in the state of Louisiana. That was good, but there was some he vetoed, and I just, for the best of me, don't understand why they did.
Well, you know, they were doing that surgery here at Vanderbilt, and a lot of the people like Ben Shapiro and forgot the guy's name, a lot of those people got involved. And so Governor Bill Lee now has signed into law. So all that has changed here in Tennessee now.
Well, that's
yeah, they were actually...
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's because the people came out and referendum, and they pushed it, and the legislator voted for it. You know, the states have more power. The federal government gets its power from the states, but states don't operate that way for some reason. And people don't push their state legislature into that direction. If state legislature or anyone in official capacity don't do as the people wish, then they need to get rid of them.
Amen. Preach on. Well, our governor has done well so far. I would like to see him make, like you were talking about, Ed, as far as a decision. They had a special session, I think it was yesterday, but it was a short session, and they didn't finish up. But, you know, they're really pushing for gun control here in the state of Tennessee. And luckily, we have some organizations here in Tennessee that are advocates, you know, for gun owner rights. And we're just lucky that we have what we have. I think the minority is, you know, Justin Pearson, and the minority is what you hear. You really haven't heard the majority here in Tennessee because, I mean, Tennessee is a sportsman's, sports ladies, you know, Mecca. There's hunting here, and you're not going to really hear anybody except for those few loud people that are going to be for gun control. I can tell you now that I won't be at all. I've never really believed, you know, I grew up in a small town, and I believe that it's not a gun's fault. A gun doesn't get up and shoot somebody. And if somebody really intends on killing somebody, they can find other things other than guns. I mean, Oklahoma City is just one of those, you know, examples of what can happen if somebody really wants to make, you know, kill somebody. You know that as well as I do.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. But keep in mind, too, people that's talking about gun control and gun reform, you got to come to them with one more question. Well, what would that look like? And they don't say anything because they know that generally what they're talking about is unconstitutional. Well, what would it look like? They don't say nothing. And that's what happens when they exploit the devastation and the sadness with young people in high school. They use these buzz catchwords, but they don't get into the details. And then the children don't understand
the rights that they have and liberties by way of the Constitution, so they fall and become emotionalized with the buzzwords.
Hey, I got one question for you.
Yes.
Would you be my grandfather? I like you.
Well, some people say I am unusual, but no, I love this nation. I understand the history of it. I understand about the Tennessee sharpshooters, and I know old Hickory Jackson come out of Tennessee. So you got a long history. Hey, if it wasn't for you, the Mexican-American War might have went the other way from your volunteers.
Now, remember, technically I am an Alabamian, so I've only been in Tennessee for 4 years.
Well, nothing that the forces would like to do than to break down the strong dedication and patrioticness of the South. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do it in Georgia. Trying to do it with Stacey Abrams in Georgia. But people have to fight back. And one thing you have to do is regain the control of the information that's going into the skulls of your kids.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. At the end of the day, what do you see happening? I mean, you don't have to be like dead on exact. What do you see happening 15 months from now? We're having an election coming up.
Well, I think they're going to try another COVID thing, of course, because it worked for them. Good teams always refer to plays that gained them yards and touchdowns. But in the long run, if things don't change, I see there's going to be a drawing of the line around states, and you're going to have this division, which I myself welcome because I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising. See, here's the thing. This is like with Donald Trump. Donald Trump done the right thing by not going to a debate because he's up. So the worst thing that could come out of him attending a debate is him losing. He may pick up, but he would more likely lose because all the odds was against it. The crowd would have been against it. Those that's hosting it, the commentators would have been against it. And
yeah,
then
they
all
could,
of them
they could
have been
control
attacking
that,
them.
That, they could give Trump no questions up there and just let them beat him up if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
So did you watch the debate?
I didn't.
No, I'm talking about. Did you
no,
watch
I didn't
the?
Watch.
Did you watch them talk to Trump the other night or last night or Tucker?
No, I didn't watch that either. I heard about it. I knew how that was going to go, but the other debate, no way. See, I'm going to tell you this: Fox News and Dominion, they was in cahoots with each other in order to get rid of Tucker Carlson. The loss of the money? Huh?
I said no doubt that they were all in cahoots.
Yeah, they split the money. That split that $750 million. It was $1.5 billion suit. Fox had to put up a fight because if not, the insurance company probably wouldn't have covered it. But Fox News and Dominion were in cahoots with each other, and they wanted to get rid of the Carlson.
I was an avid Tucker watcher.
Yeah, I used a lot of his stuff on here.
Yeah, I was very devastated. I'm not going to lie, I was very devastated that happened. So I was definitely an avid Tucker watcher.
No, that's not my cat. That must be Pianki's. My cats aren't in the building or not in the room.
That's that was my grandson's cat keeping up noise. You know, I tell you something else too. Women need to wear their weapons on their hips because at first it becomes more of the public gets acquainted with it. And another thing is it sends a message. Especially white women. White women are being attacked left and right. Black women are too, but they don't show it like they should.
and they don't show it on the news. You need to wear that weapon on your hip. And also have a stack barrel derringer in your bra.
I actually do carry it's funny that you say that because day before yesterday Tuesday I was leaving the pharmacy and I was pulling out of the pharmacy and this homeless man walks out in front of me and I stopped and he like started walking backwards and I always carry a gun with me, always. And he starts to approach my car, and I told him in the strictest of voice, I said, do not approach my car. And he walked backwards. I mean it. I'm always an advocate. I don't believe in open carry because I believe if you open carry, you're going to be the first one. And if a shooter sees your gun, they're going to take you out. But I do believe in concealed all day long. So I totally agree with you on that one. I have no doubt that, you know, that all women, everybody right now with the crazy world that we live in needs a weapon, except unless you're not mentally capable or not trained or you don't feel comfortable carrying one.
Oh, well, yeah, you should be trained. And by the way, open carry is constitutional.
Yeah.
Concealed carry is restriction. But the thing is this, that they're trying to stop it under any circumstances that they possibly can. And especially women, they need to carry. Even if you just have the holster on your hip, making a fashion statement, put it on and send a message.
Well, it's not that I don't believe in open carry. I just don't believe it for myself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand. Whatever makes you comfortable.
I always carry a weapon with me. I mean, especially it's right there with me like all the time. And in fact, my dad just gave me another nice weapon that I've got, and I really appreciate that. But he gets it. He understands. He was in the Marines too, and he knows what's going on. So. I told him, I said, if anything, that's true love whenever you give your daughter a gun, you know?
Well, I was never in the military. I was in the Boy Scouts, Explorer, and that's why I had my experience with weapons. When I used to go to high school, we used to have gun practice, rifle practice after school. And I used to actually have a .22 carbine, bolt action. I used to put it on my shoulder, and we used to ride the bus. Ride the public service bus with that rifle on our shoulder. Nobody said anything. But, you know, as times have went on, times have changed. And I think that's the proper way to do it.
Which part of Alabama are you from?
I'm from St. Louis.
Okay.
I'm from St. Louis.
Okay. And so he said somebody was from Alabama.
Yeah, I have sisters in Bessemer.
Okay.
And a brother.
Okay. I used to work fire EMS in Birmingham and Bessemer in that area.
But you know, eventually, if the things that we're trying to do now, if move to get President Trump reelected, the first election was stolen. There's all kind of evidence out there. And there's a move to have a constitutional convention to limit the overreach of the federal government, calling for term limits, and also stop the reckless spending by making them adhere to a budget. And, you know, if things like that don't work, then the next obvious thing that's going to happen is people are going to draw lines. They're going to draw the line.
So let me ask you a question. And I know this is probably a stupid question. I'm just kind of curious. Has inflation hurt you personally?
Well, heck yeah. When Trump was in office, gas was $1.65 a gallon.
So why are there people that say, like, I'm kind of confused that things are better under Biden, if that's the case, and I know that and you know that.
Well, one reason is the news. For instance, up in Illinois, in Granite City, Illinois, which is across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, there's a steel plant, Granite City Steel. It had been closed, and U.S. Steel closed it because of the problems. But Trump, he imposed a tariff on imported steel, especially plate steel from Russia, and he also reduced the taxes on corporations and also citizens too. President of U.S. Steel had a press conference, and he explicitly mentioned those two things, why they was reopening two units of that steel plant, Granite City. Well, when Biden got back in, guess what? Now they're closing, laying off over 1,000. And the businesses that was being supported by the workers there, well, they back at the point of having to close down. And the jobs that's going to be lost. Look at the jobs that was lost when he closed down, when he stopped the pipeline. And you know, the funny thing that I mentioned with blacks, they had a YouTube clip of a black worker who was working on the pipeline, had bought a vehicle and also a house, and he's crying. He don't know what he's going to do now. Here's a grown man crying, and you don't hear anything from the usual suspects on that action. That's the thing that pees me off. You got these two- and three-tier justice systems, and then you got hush-hush on certain stories that should be right out there in front. That there, I think, is a travesty. I think it's criminal.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that pipeline, the pipeline sued the Biden administration over that.
What people don't understand is the United States becomes second fiddle in the world. A lot's going to change, and you're not going to like it. Your 401's going to change. Everybody thinks dearly of, I guess. Of course, your standing in the world is going to change. Your food's going to change. Everything's going to change. It's not going to change for the best. And this whole hoax on climate change, this whole hoax on climate change is just that, a hoax. It's a big hoax.
I mean,
go ahead.
It's already happening. I mean, I know people that were getting special dividends on their retirement, and they're not getting that anymore.
They want to put everybody into a bastion of pittiness, and depends on the government. And that crap needs to stop. You got people talking about reparations and all that stuff. You got people going into stores, just walking out with stuff and looting them, putting businesses out of business, creating the conditions that cause the desert that people complain about, the food desert.
You know
that
what gets me
about.
On
well,
that
hell,
though, Bianchi? I've seen in San Francisco where these people loot Walgreens, and then they go right across the street and set up shop outside on a little 6-foot table.
Yeah, selling the stuff they took out of Walgreens or any place else. I passed by a park there in St. Louis on Grand and I think it was Lee. They had a little pavilion with it's in North St. Louis. North St. Louis is black. Everybody on that pavilion had on the same color tennis shoes. I said, how ironic is that?
I love this man. I love you. You're the best. I love it.
hell, the police, of course, police don't do nothing no more. And then the prosecutors tell the police, well, if they look like they need what it is they're shoplifting, let them go. Well, who in the heck going to operate on that? Then I hear blacks say, we need to have our own store. Yeah, right. How long would your stores last if about 20 or 25 people came in there and took everything off the shelf, loaded it up in trash bags, and walked out?
And if you complain to corporate, you get fired. That's what gets me. There's somebody that the manager, they were told to not do anything if somebody comes in and robs them. So a whole department store gets looted. This guy films it, and he shows the video to corporate, and they fire him for taking the video.
Yeah, you wonder what the hell's going on.
Like they want to be looted. Yeah. How in the world are you going to, this guy takes a video of the store getting trashed and you're going to fire the guy getting trashed and not do anything about losing $50,000 worth of stuff?
Yeah, and look at these school board meetings where you have parents stand up before the board and recite what's in a book that's available for the kids in the library, and then they want to escort him out because of the nature of the material that he's reading out of the book that's available to the kids in the library.
Yeah, so they make porno for 5-year-olds now.
Yeah, they had the one book, they talking about masturbation for kids as early as kindergarten.
Yes.
Now, I hate to say it like this, but I believe that some of these people are not from this world. They have aliens. Some of these people as old as you and I, and they're going along with this. It's something wrong with these folks. It's something wrong with them. They cannot be humans.
I call it Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, it's way more than that. But these people... The Brandon's going to start sucking carbon dioxide out of the air to stop climate change. That dioxide creates oxygen. But they don't want to hear that.
I remember back in 2000, they had a university there in Massachusetts. I was on the tip of my tongue. And they had, one Saturday, they had workshops. And they was busting kids in as young as 12 years old. The workshop, the event was carried on by a company called Glensen, G-L-S-E-N, and Kevin Jennings was the person who was head of it. And it was at one of those universities, I can't think of the name of it. But some of the topics on the agenda in the workshops were fisting, F-I-S-T-I-N-G, and also the question, should I swallow or spit it out? Well, we know where that was going. And see, this guy, Kevin Jennings, when Obama became a president, he appointed him as head of their educational czar, C-Z-A-R, safe
right.
school czar. So he's crazy. It's just like this case with the chef. The chef was having some relationship with Michelle. That's the only logical thing that you can think of. Obama can't handle that woman. He's weak, smoked, so he don't have no second and third wind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he had an affair with Barry Satoru personally. But that's just me.
So when the mother asked that she wants some questions why her son got killed. This black mother wants to know why her son got killed. Now, any other scenario, it would be news conferences, your Sharptons, your Jackson, he can't walk no more, these other lawyers that chase these police events, they would be there and they would have a news conference and call in all sorts of things, white supremacy, so on and so on. If a white police officer shot somebody black,
But where is the light treatment with this chef being killed or coming up dead suspiciously?
No, you don't get that because Barry Satoru was there. So it's a two-tier justice system.
So, Leslie, you have to call it out for what it is. Don't hold back. We're beyond the two-minute warning. And these people have demonstrated that they go for the jugular vein.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry. If it means that you got to erase some numbers in your Rolodex and your phone, erase them. You didn't need them people anyway. They're now showing you who they actually are.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those people just kind of take themselves out.
Well, I don't have nothing to do with them no more. You know, it's kind of self-serving when you know somebody don't mean no good and you're going to hold your breath to sit around them and talk to them. No, that's a waste of time. And it has proven to be dangerous. Leave them alone. Don't let your kids play with them. Why are you going to let your kids play with kids that come from households that have that type of logical thinking and carrying on? Hell, they're going to contaminate your kids. And then when your kids get about 16 years old, they're going to come, Leslie, Mama, your daughter, I'm a man.
Hmm.
So those are things you got to do to protect yourself for the long term, not the short term, the long term.
I totally agree with you, and I appreciate every word that you have said tonight.
Oh, you saw that clip I was telling you about where they want to suck the carbon out of the air. And if they really wanted to go green, why are they not planting more trees?
Exactly.
Even in land owned by the Bureau of Land Management, if they really wanted to, they could plant all kinds of trees in those areas and reforest, and nobody would say anything bad about that. But no, they want to chop down trees and bury them in the ground because carbon bad. That's not even human. What kind of human would think of stuff like that? So maybe you're onto something, that this isn't human. This isn't from this earth.
Well, you know, I never thought I'd be admitting it like I am, but after observing and witnessing what we've observed and witnessed for the last few years, it's something beyond just plain ignorance and stupidity going on here. And until we begin to recognize things for what they really are, we're taking a very serious and dangerous chance. Hell, look at all the influx of illegals coming across the border. Look at that bio lab out there in California they discovered, where you had about 900, 800 mice and 200 was dead, and they experimented with mosquitoes. And then they experimented with these mice, giving them malaria, a certain thing, fleas. Then they go let them loose in a city.
Yeah, if you and I did that, Bianchi, that we'd be arrested for that. But if it's Bill Gates, then it's okay.
Yeah, look at Maryland. Now they're having problems with malaria in Maryland. Well, they might have let some of those mice loose. Then they had a water hose coming out of the building.
which was illegal when you have those type of activities going on. So if they take a water hose and connect it up to your sprinkler system, well, then it's going to cross-contaminate into your water. What a good way in order to inject bacteria in that that's deadly to the human being into your water system. We know still waters flow deep, but hell, fish can swim upstream now. And by the way, the lab was owned by some Chinese nationalists.
You can't say that out loud, though.
Well, I do. You know, in Louisiana, they had a bill that would prevent foreigners, especially U.S. adversaries, from owning land and leasing land in Louisiana. And they had a hearing, typical hearing like they usually do. And this one hearing, I think the last one that was in the chambers, in a room, hell, it was packed. And it was packed with Chinese that is in Louisiana, from what I understand, that's on visa. And many of them work at LSU. And they was against the passage of the bill because they said it would affect them. Well, good God. They here on visa. They're not supposed to be indulging in politics. They're not even citizens.
I'm so glad that other people see this and it's just not me.
So if you don't be careful, the country's going to be in flux with. And, you know, I don't have anything about people coming into the country legally. But the way this has happened is totally ridiculous. And see, here's another. These people are coming from countries that don't have a association with a constitution like we have. They don't have it. They have oligarchy and tyrannical government. And that's what they're used to. It's just like during the COVID scare. Every place you went, they was out of toilet tissue and milk. Well, if you look at some of the habits down in that part of North America, down in Central America, when they have any calamity that come up, the first thing the residents do is run to the store and start hoarding all the toilet tissue and milk. So
I want to see who's going to be hoarding Zabugs here in a little bit. Yeah, we're going to be considered throwbacks because we won't eat Zabugs.
Illegals aren't supposed to be working in the country. Anything they earn or acquire should be confiscated on the asset forfeiture. They're not supposed to be working.
Yeah, but you'll be considered xenophobic if you say that.
They get an I-10 number. For those that can't qualify for Social Security number, they get an I-10 number. I-10 number allows them to file taxes. I-10 number allows them to go to a bank and get a mortgage. And when they get a mortgage, they got an address. They take that closing papers from closing out on that loan for that house. They go down to the election commission, and then they register to vote, and they're illegal. They got driver's licenses.
They
could
be
when you go
juries.
You go into your ballot to cast your ballot. One of the things they ask you for identification is a government ID, which can be a driver's license. And although they're not supposed to be voting on a federal candidate, if you got federal candidates at the top of state and local ballots, well, you think they're not going to scoot on up to the top and start putting checks by the name of president, representatives for Congress, and also U.S. senators? You don't think they're going to do that? How would you ever know? There's no name on the ballot.
No, I get it.
So anyway, you only got 10 minutes left. I guess I'll get out of here.
I think that's going to be all of us getting out of here. Yeah, I think you're probably ready to go, right, Leslie?
Yeah, I have to be at work early in the morning, so.
Okay, well, I'll shut it down. That's fine. I'm done for the most part. So,
it was very,
anyway, thank you.
It was very nice
thank you, Siaki. What's that?
I was telling him it was very nice to meet him, sir.
Well, it's nice meeting you too, Leslie. I hope I was able to share some information with you that can end up being some good.
Yes, sir. You take care of yourself.
I will. Keep wearing that gun. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, everyone. I'll go ahead and shut this down right now here. So thank you, Leslie, for joining us tonight. Everyone else, I'll be back Monday. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until Monday, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oops.